today, the recession we've got to have. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, interestingly and surprisingly, the German economy is in recession, according to the latest data. Germany suffered its first recession since the start of the pandemic, extinguishing hopes that Europe's top economy would escape such a fate after the war in Ukraine sent energy prices soaring. First quarter output shrank 0.3% from the previous 3 months, following a 0.5% drop between October and December, the statistics office said on Thursday. Its initial estimate last month was for a stagnation. The reluctance of households to buy was apparent in a variety of areas, the office said in a statement. Households spent less on food and beverages, clothing and footwear, and on furnishings, and they also purchased fewer electric cars as incentives were reduced. Elsewhere, there was a plunge in government expenditure, while investment was up, aided by construction in unseasonably warm weather. The result is a setback for Germany, which, despite escaping the bleakest scenarios feared in the aftermath of Russia's invasion, has nevertheless succumbed to a recession that Chancellor Olaf Scholz appeared to rule out last January. "We must turn the corner in economic policy and put an end to the neglect of our competitiveness," Finance Minister Christian Lindner said in Berlin, adding that this included the acceleration of planning and approval procedures and strengthening the idea of technological freedom in order to leverage our creative potential. That said, markets shrugged off the numbers despite their implications for the wider performance of the 20-nation Eurozone. The optimism at the start of the year seems to have given way to more of a sense of reality, ING economist Carlson Brixke said in a report to clients. A drop in purchasing power thinned out industrial order books, as well as the impact of the most aggressive monetary policy tightening in decades and the expected slowdown of the US economy, all argue in favour of weak economic activity. And for economists at Commerzbank, a second half recession now looks likelier than the rebound most of his colleagues continue to forecast. And of course, inflation isn't helping, and it still exceeds 7% and isn't expected to retreat quickly as rising wages feed strong underlying pressures, according to the Bundesbank. But news of Germany's first recession since the start of the pandemic actually is barely registering in Frankfurt, where European Central Bank officials remain focused on a possible string of further interest rate increases. The surprise 0.3% drop in gross domestic product that the region's business economy suffered during the first 3 months of 2023, that's a second straight quarterly retreat, is already too far in the past to distract policymakers from their inflation-fighting task. As they struggle to bring consumer prices back under control, ECB officials have already signalled they're prepared to keep hiking, even if the US Federal Reserve pauses. Initial remarks in the hours after Thursday's revised German data showed no sign of wavering in that mission, suggesting any fallout from the report is likely to be limited to the political sphere, at least for now. "In order to banish the spectre of inflation, we in the Euro system have acted resolutely," Bundesbank President Joachim Nagel told an audience in Switzerland. "The ECB Governing Council will continue on this monetary tightening path to overcome high inflation." Nagel is among hawks touting the prospect of as many as three more rate hikes. Many say taming the spike in prices that followed Russia's invasion of Ukraine is key to getting expansion in the 20-nation Eurozone economy back on track. Investors, too, were unmoved by Germany's disappointing figures, maintaining long-standing bets on two more quarter-point rate moves this year. Surprising weakness in the Eurozone's biggest economy at the start of the year is a reminder that growth is fragile, even before tighter monetary policy passes through in full, said Jamie Rush, chief European economist at Bloomberg. For the ECB, though, the focus remains on underlying inflation. "Our forecasts show core inflation accelerating into the summer, keeping the ECB hiking for at least until July, he said. It's worth remembering that no analyst predicted a GDP drop as large as that which Germany announced, which is a culmination of a string of downbeat economic reports. Well, look at it in more detail. Pressure on consumers has been building, prompting them to cut back on goods from food to cars. Manufacturing has also worsened. And the IFO Institute survey of companies showed that the business outlook deteriorated this month for the first time since October, while purchasing managers reported a significant drop in factory activity. The DIHK business lobby, which conducted its own survey of members, said on Monday that there's scant evidence of a pickup taking hold. It held to a forecast of no increase in GDP this year as a whole. Countering such gloom, though, was news from purchasing managers that a robust services sector is continuing to drive growth, while the Bundesbank declared that the economy probably resumed expansion during the current quarter, but of course likely at the expense of higher core inflation. That such reports tend to point to the other prevailing risk for Germany and the Eurozone as a whole, that inflation remains undefeated. There's a theme that ECB Vice President Louis de Grotto touched on in comments in the European Parliament today. Our future decisions will ensure that the policy rates will be brought to levels sufficiently restrictive to achieve a timely return of inflation to our 2% medium-term goal, he said in Brussels. Once there, they'll be kept at those levels for as long as necessary. Even Bank of France Governor François Villeroy de Galais, less of a hawk than many of his colleagues, acknowledged the possibility that rates may need to keep rising through as far as September. We should be at the end of the terminal rate no later than by the summer, which starts in June and ends in September, he said in Paris. Hence, we have three possible governing councils either to hike or to pause. And Villeroy advised colleagues to assess how past rate increases are feeding through. However, it's the mounting impact of 375 basis points of tightening so far that could yet convince officials to come to a halt eventually. Lagged effects of hikes are going to start to bite. Ian Steely, international CIO for fixed income at JP Morgan, said at some point they're going to sit back and say, actually, on a forward-looking basis, this growth data is going to hurt prices. And the point I want to make is this contention between fighting inflation and dealing with risks of recession is actually now the epicenter for pretty much all central banks, whether we look across the US, UK, Eurozone, or Australia and New Zealand. Of course, in New Zealand yesterday, I highlighted that they are there expecting a recession. And just to underscore how difficult this whole situation is, it's worth noting that in the US, the government's two main measures of US economic activity diverged in the first quarter, with one gauge painting a picture of weakness. Gross domestic product rose to a revised 1.3% annualized pace in the first quarter. That's up slightly from the government's previous estimate. However, a gauge of the income generated and costs incurred from producing goods and services, gross domestic income, decreased 2.3% after falling 3.3%. That's the worst back-to-back decline since the start of the pandemic. The average of GDP and GDI showed contraction for a second straight quarter. While that suggests that the economic expansion is losing momentum under the weight of still high inflation and tighter credit conditions, broad yet modest up revisions to GDP components will continue to fuel debate about the economy's prospects in the US. American consumers continue to spend on the back of a strong labor market in the early months of the year, and consumer spending was revised higher to a 3.8% rate, according to Commerce Department figures released on Thursday. Household spending on services was firmer than initially estimated, while outlays for merchandise were slightly weaker. That said, the housing sector posted its eighth straight quarterly decline, and business investment in equipment shrank for a second quarter. The sharp downturn revision to fourth quarter GDI reflected much weaker wages and salaries than had previously been estimated. In theory, real GDP and real GDI should be equivalent, but they usually differ somewhat in practice due to emissions, Wells Fargo economist Jay Bryson and Shannon Seri said in the note. This weakness in GDI suggests that real GDP growth in recent quarters may be revised lower in subsequent data releases. Durable household spending and persistent labour demand have led economists to push out their recession forecasts until later in the year. The outlook relies largely on the jobs market, and separate data on Thursday shows initial applications for unemployment insurance did remain low. The report also showed that adjusted pre-tax corporate profits fell in the first 3 months of 2023. Profits declined in the finance sector and in the non-finance sector. From a year earlier, profits slid 2.8%. Companies, however, continue to flex their pricing power. And this, of course, is the key to the whole situation. The personal consumption expenditures price index, including food and energy, which is closely watched by Federal Reserve policymakers, was revised slightly higher to 5% in the first quarter. And after-profit tax as a share of gross value added for non-financial corporations, a measure of aggregate profit margins, remained well elevated in the first quarter at 30.8% after 14% in the prior quarter. So the key point here in the US, that recession still looms and the Fed will probably continue to lift rates. We'll know in a couple of weeks, of course. And for as long as central banks believe that rates need to go higher to control inflation, and for as long as inflation remains stubbornly high, especially this core inflation, which of course is more to do with margin expansion and also wages growth, then the likelihood is that it's a recession that we have to have. And I would remind you that even in Australia, despite the fact the rates have not gone as high, the risks of the recession are indeed continuing to build. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.